are listening to the very best of community radio, presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, Louisiana.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Now as I stand here today, I need to tell you that I do need your prayers. So happy that Sister Joyner is here. Amen. God bless you. She's been under the weather, but she is back with us. And I do need your prayers. I've started on a new journey. Amen. And it's not that easy when you've been big all the time and you working to get little, and you go from 3,000 calories a day to 1,000 calories a day. I'm telling you, I'm feeling it. Amen. But I know that with your prayers, amen, the Lord's will be accomplished in this house on today. I want to call your attention to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 13. 2 Samuel, chapter 13. I know that a lot of you, like me, like to watch some of these shows on the television. Amen. The haves and have-nots on Tuesday nights. Empire on Wednesday night, and some kind of scandal going on Thursday night. But I have come to find that as interesting as those stories are, amen, the Word of God has some stuff in it, amen, that will make empire and scandal look like nothing. 2 Samuel chapter 13 verses, we're going to start at verse 1 and read through verse 20. And it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. And he said unto him, "Why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me?" And Amnon said unto him, "I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister." And Jonadab said unto him, "Lay thee down on thy bed and make thyself sick. And when thy father cometh to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come and give me meat and dress the meat in my sight, that I may see it and eat it at her hand." So Amnon lay down and made himself sick. And when the king was come to see him, Amnon said unto the king, "I pray thee, let Tamar, my sister, come and make me a couple of cakes in my sight, that I may eat it at her hand." Then David sent home to Tamar, saying, "Go now to thy brother Amnon's house and dress him meat." So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, and he was laid down. And she took flour and kneaded it and made cakes in his sight and did bake the cakes. And she took a pan and poured them out before him, but he refused to eat. And Amnon said, "Have out all men from me, And they went out every man from him. And Amnon said unto Tamar, bring the meat into the chamber, that I may eat of thine hand. And Tamar took the cakes which she had made and brought them into the chamber to Amnon, her brother. And when she had brought them unto him to eat, he took hold of her and said unto her, come lie with me, my sister. And she answered him, nay, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not thou this folly. And I, whither shall I cause my shame to go? And as for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. Now, therefore, I pray thee, speak unto the king, for he will not withhold me from thee. Howbeit, he would not hearken unto her voice, but being stronger than she, forced her and lay with her. Now skip down to verse 19 and 20, and I want you to read the rest of this in your private time. Verse 19 says, and Tamar put ashes on her head and rent her garment of diverse colors that was on her and laid her hand on her head and went on crying. And Absalom, her brother, said unto her, hath Amnon, thy brother, been with thee? But hold now thy peace, my sister. He is thy brother. Regard not this thing. So Tamar remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. I want you to think with me this morning in terms of a subject, loving yourself when you feel lost. Loving yourself when you feel lost. Thank you, ushers. One day, a lawyer approached Jesus, and in trying to trick Jesus, he asked the question, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus responded to this lawyer, you're familiar with the law. What does the law state? He responded that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength, which is the greatest commandment. Then he said, thou shalt love thy neighbor as you love yourself. And my brothers and sisters, one of the challenges for many of us is that it is difficult for us to have affection and love for each other when we really don't have love for ourselves. Many of us struggle and wrestle with issues of low self-esteem. Many of us actually are engulfed with self-hatred. Believe it or not, there are even people who have begun to mutilate themselves because they don't like what they see. One of the revelations that comes from people who have plastic surgery is that many people have plastic surgery not just to improve their aesthetic beauty on the outside, but many people have plastic surgery because they hate what they see both outwardly and inwardly. And often they hate what they see outwardly because they see themselves through the lenses of what they think others want to see. And I think that this message is important because we have allowed the world, we have allowed Madison Avenue to paint the picture of what true beauty is. And if we're not careful, we will spend our lives trying to live up to the expectations of others. And a standard of beauty that is unattainable for most people, especially in our culture. Last month, we celebrated Black History Month. On yesterday, President Obama and First Lady Michelle Obama were in Selma, Alabama, commemorating, amen, the March on Selma 50 years ago. I was so happy to see the love and honor and respect shown to our president and the first family. Because in so many cases, they have to deal with hatred and disdain and scorn. I was so happy to see both white and black showing the first family love. However, I was especially happy to see us showing love, honor, and respect to our own. Because I know I've got some witnesses here, self-hatred runs rampant in our community. So allow me to say here that African Americans in particular have to gain an appreciation for who we are. Because all human beings are fearfully and wonderfully made. Come on, point to yourself and say, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. We are made in the very image and likeness of God. And by not recognizing that you're fearfully and wonderfully made can cause you to have a lack of appreciation and an unhealthy dose of self-deprecation of your own life and people like you. That's why young men are killing each other on the streets, not just in the cities, right around here. Amen. Because there is this self-hatred that is just an epidemic among us. But we've got to realize that we're special to God. Some decades ago, there was an experiment. I think it was in the 50s or 60s. They would give young black girls a black doll and a white doll. Some of you are familiar with that. And they would ask the young black girl, which doll is the prettiest? And almost 100% of them would say the white doll. They would ask them, which one is smarter? And almost 100% would say the white doll is smarter. And then they would ultimately ask them, which one would you want to be? And they would say the white doll. Oh my, that's a pretty sad indictment against what we are passing down to our children and what the society at large is telling us about ourselves. Only a fool would not love himself. Only a fool would not love herself. It's sad that they identified more with the ones that did not look like them, which in and of itself is a form of self-hatred. Some of our entertainers and celebrities have had so many surgeries that you can grab a picture of them from 10 years ago and put it up against a picture of them now, and you wouldn't even recognize them. Amen. There's a female rapper. I know y'all never heard of her, but her name is Lil' Kim. You can't even recognize Lil' Kim now. Amen. She's had so much plastic surgery. And God rest Michael Jackson's soul, but those of us from his era can remember, amen, how he looked, amen, when he was singing Rock With You and all of that, and how he changed his appearance to try and look like somebody else. We don't really want to be ourselves. And when we don't, we are really saying to God, God, you didn't know what you were doing when you made me. Do I have any witnesses today? You've got to know that you are loved by God and that God wants you to love yourself. Do I have any witnesses here today? The way that he made you, and he wants you to appreciate the uniqueness that he has given to you. I had to learn over the years to have an appreciation for the uniqueness of being an African American. Now, if you're not African American, you ought to appreciate who you are. Amen, amen, amen. But I'm talking largely to African Americans this morning, and I want us to appreciate who we are and who God made us. Amen. The thick lips God gave us. Some who used to laugh and mock us for our big lips. Now getting injections to make their lips more full. The curvaceous hips on our women. I've watched in the mall, just watching. Amen. And places as folk from other cultures have looked at a blessed sister walk by, and all they could do is look with envy. I even had to learn to appreciate the texture of the hair God gave me. All of my life, amen, all I heard was that our hair was bad. That's bad hair. Nappy is bad, amen. And unfortunately, I bought into that reality until I realized that nappy hair is not bad hair. Nappy hair is good hair. Now follow my Aristotelian logic and my syllogistic reasoning. If you're a parent, you have a child that is obedient to your every command, you say that's a good child, don't you? Am I right about it? I have good hair because I put it in one place and tell it to stay there. Don't move. And y'all, it stays there till I move it. That ain't bad hair. That's good hair. Obedient hair. But the truth of the matter is that no matter what kind of hair you have, God gave you your hair. And you ought to have enough love for God to know that he gave you the best that he had. Do I have any witnesses here? Is there anybody that can look in the mirror and thank God that he made you the way he made? And one thing I love about Joseph Garner, let me tell y'all something about, can't nobody beat Joseph Garner at being Joseph Garner. And I've got three or four folk that walk around and try to tell me I need to change this and change that, and you're too mean and you're too strict and all of that. Well, I'm just me. And I don't know how to be anybody but me. And if you can't love me for me, then amen, you've got a problem. Because I'm going to look at the man in the mirror and say, thank God for who I am. Thank God for who, am I the only one in here today who's not trying, you've grown up enough to realize that you ain't got to try to live your life based on what other folks say and what other folks think, but you're going to do you. Say amen, somebody. And what I recognize is that many people don't love themselves even when things are well in their lives. So what happens when you don't love yourself because you're in a place where you're totally lost? How do you love yourself out of a lost place? Well, I'm glad you asked. The main character in the text that we've tagged to teach today teaches us, amen, what we've got to do when we're in that position. This young lady, she faced an atrocity and a tragedy that was beyond her control. Something happened to her that she didn't ask for. She didn't do anything to deserve it. She bore the scars from someone else's actions. She was young, had not lived much of life when something beyond her control happened to her without warning, without notice, without provocation. Something happened to her, and she was totally lost. Watch this. She was lost, but her father was a king. Her father was the second monarch in Israel's history. His name was David. David had been chosen by God after Saul had been dethroned by God. You remember the story. Her name was Tamar. She was the daughter of King David. She was being a wonderful sister by checking on her brother who she thought was sick. She went to check on her brother who she thought was sick physically, but he turned out rather to be sick emotionally and spiritually. He had a seed of negativity, a seed of evil in him that ultimately led him to take advantage of his own sister and commit sexual assault against her. Her own brother objectified her. Her own brother dehumanized her and took advantage of her in order to fulfill his own sick lust. And after he took advantage of and assaulted his sister, the Bible says he kicked her out and locked the door. The daughter of a king with royal access, access to affluence, access to opportunity, was assaulted by someone she loved and was now totally lost. Pastor, why are you harping on that? I'm harping on that because if it could happen to Tamar, if Tamar could be disrespected, if Tamar could be dehumanized, if Tamar could be taken advantage of, tell your neighbor it can happen to you. The Bible lets us know that because of her lost condition, she never gained the ability to love herself. And I'm talking to someone this morning who's in a similar situation. Life has assaulted you. Stuff has been thrown at you. And out of all the things that have been thrown at you, you never pause long enough to consider who you are connected to. You are a child of God. You are the daughter or the son of a king. But if you're not careful, the enemy can blind you with so much pain that the enemy makes you forget about who you're connected to. Who's your daddy? I'm so glad you asked. My daddy is the King of Kings. My daddy is the Lord of Lords. As a matter of fact, I've been adopted into the royal family. I know who I am and I know whose I am. And that's good news for somebody here today. What do you have to do when you're lost? When you're down on yourself? Well, the first thing you've got to do is realize that you're not defined by the situation. Look what the Bible says in verse 19. Verse 19. after she's raped and assaulted by her own brother Amnon. Verse 19 says that she put ashes on her head. The next thing she did was problematic, but it was a custom of that time. She rent her garment of divers colors that was on her body. She had been given a robe because during this time, amen, if you were a virgin, you were able to wear this robe of many colors. Amen. This robe represented her status. This robe, amen, said you're clean. This robe said that you have promise. The robe said that you'd never been touched. The robe said that you were chaste. The robe had become a picture of status for her, and so that attire started defining who she was. But when she got raped by a brother, she felt like she couldn't look within or up to God, so the Bible says she tore off that robe. Because what she was saying was that what I was, I'm no longer that. That something happened to me that took away who I am. My status in life, my possibility in life will never be regained because of what someone did to me. But I've come by today to tell you, my brothers and sisters, don't ever let what happened to you define who you are. Do I have a witness today? She was saying she was going to be a victim the rest of her life. But I've come by to tell you, don't ever let what somebody said about you or what somebody thought about you or what somebody did to you stop you from being who God called you to be. Y'all would be amazed at the folk in church who never get up, never get in the choir, never, amen, pray, never do anything because they're so worried about what somebody thinks about them. They're so worried about what somebody says about them. But I thank God, amen, I told you before, one of the greatest deliverances you can have in this life is to be delivered from people. You've got to reach a point in your life that you don't care what they say, what they think, what they do. It ain't going to stop you from being who God called you to be. Can I get a witness here today? So many of us let stuff define us. Oh, my. Oh, my. Never allow a purse or a car to define who you are. Your worth is not what you have on your arm. A purse won't make you special. Some women, oh God, spend $1,200 on a purse. And ain't nothing in it, Sister Ava Hart, but peppermints and lint. Because they think that purse defines who they are. You sisters wonder why some of our brothers got gold teeth all in their mouth, got more value in their mouth than they got in their pocket. It's because they think, amen, that it makes their worth go up. They think that that makes them more valuable. Amen. But I'm here to tell you, and young people, hear me, it don't matter what you have on the outside. If you ain't got nothing on the inside, amen, then you just a dressed up dummy. You just a dressed up somebody on your way to a devil's hell. Now, don't get me wrong. Ain't nothing wrong with dressing up. Ain't nothing wrong with driving a nice car. But only a fool would put themselves in debt, amen, to buy a car to impress folk they don't even know and wouldn't like them if they knew anyway. You better appreciate who you are. Come on. How many of you can say again, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made? I'm somebody without an expensive suit on. I'm somebody without expensive shoes. I'm somebody because I'm a child of the Most High God. Thank you, God. So don't ever let what happened to you define who you are. Tell your neighbor, that's just a pit stop on your journey. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Rough spots in my life. Had some tough times. I may have even failed from time to time, but just because I failed does not make me a failure. Just because it didn't work doesn't mean I don't have value. Just because they divorced you doesn't mean you don't have value. They just didn't know the worth that they had. And that's why I've told y'all before, some of y'all running around here taking pills to go to sleep and pills to stay up and pills and all of that because you're depressed, because somebody left you. Baby, you better learn how to get down to Walmart or Walgreens, go to the greeting card section, get you a greeting card for that Negro that left you, and send him one that get a sympathy card and tell him, I'm sorry for your loss, because you obviously didn't realize what you had when you let me go. Do I have any witnesses in here today? And there are some folk who left you. You don't need to say, you ought to give them get a thank you card and say, thank you for getting out of my way. Thank you for getting out of my destiny. You ought to give God praise in here today. Don't allow a season in your life to define your life. But then secondly, you've got to watch this. Verbalize your pain in a safe place. Let me tell you, everybody trying to get you to talk about your problem don't have your best interest in mind. And you know, and some folk can spiritualize it, and you know, they all seem so holy and so righteous, and get to you talking about what's going on, what's wrong. I just sense in my spirit that something is going on in your life, and the Lord told me to tell you that you need to share it. You need to share. Amen. You better pray about that, because not everybody who wants to get an in on your business cares about you. Do I have any witnesses here? Because when you look at this text, Amnon raped his sister. Absalom knows about it. Absalom tells Tamar, don't tell nobody. But when you read the story, Brother Thompson, you figure out that King David finds out about it. Now, the only way King David could find out about it is one of the three had to tell him. Amnon wasn't going to tell it because he was going to get in trouble. Tamar wasn't going to tell it because she was embarrassed. So chances are Absalom told it. And I'm here to tell you today that you better learn how to share your pain in a safe place. You better find some folk who are full of the Holy Ghost. You better find somebody who's serious about the word of God. You better find somebody who's not selfish. Amen. Because some folk want to tear you down because they're already down. And I found out that can't nobody pull you down unless they're already down. But I made up in my mind, I'm not going down. Is there anybody here today who can say, come on, devil, shoot me with your best shot. But I'm going to be everything God wants me to be. I'm going to do everything that God wants me to do. I'm going to receive every blessing that the Lord has in my life. But I need to add to that, don't allow the fact that some people can't be trusted to cause you to keep all that stuff to yourself. See, the devil wants to isolate you in such a way that you get bogged down and burdened down with trials and troubles and tribulations. But I'm here today to tell you that if you will get discernment of spirit, the Lord will show you who to talk to. The Lord will show you, amen, who you need to go to for prayer. Do I have a witness today? So don't get isolated. Don't get confined to yourself. Find, amen, somebody that you can trust. But then the third thing, you need to prioritize the healing of your soul. Prioritize the healing of your soul.